Hey there, folks. Ronnie Romance here from RonsBikes.com. Today we're going to be talking about how I like to build my bikes and how I make them my own and how perhaps you can make them your own. I mean, your own bikes your own, not my bikes, unless you buy one of my bikes and then make it your own. So, let's start with a few things here. The basis of all of my builds are a classic. What are classics these days? You know, like, what never goes out of style? And I always take that into consideration when doing my bike builds, because I want it to still look good in my brain like 10 years from now, 20 years from now. But I also want it to be modern enough that it works the way I like to ride. As it turns out, just about everything that's good in the cycling world has already been done before. You'd be very, very surprised. The majority of my free internet time for pleasure, when I'm done answering your emails, of course, is spent on eBay, looking at old parts that I used to covet when I was a teenager, before Y2K. Post Y2K, things got a little weird, things weren't made nearly as nice, and you really saw the component manufacturers being trapped in the new model year cycle, where they have to innovate in order to sell new things, and it's not always a worthwhile innovation. Granted, there have been some, but that's always up to debate. So if you know in the comments what your favorite new cycling innovation may be. There's nothing uglier than aero bars. I'm not like anti-anything really, except for aero bars. I'm anti-aero bars. Those never look good. I don't care if they work. I don't care if they're comfortable. They are ugly. Ankle socks. I don't really like ankle socks. Rigs of the Tour Divide, whenever those galleries are posted, those are routinely, without exception, the ugliest bikes of the year. Dropped seat stays. I hate that shit. Oh my god, that is such a gimmick. Yeah, you know, that's about it. Like everything else. This video is all about the alternative to big brand, big bicycle componentry. And, you know, of course, there's like the micro shifts out there, the rotor, what else is out there? Ingrid. Those things are all really cool and nice. Not necessarily my style, but if I were to build up a modern bike, those are probably the components I would use. Anyone notice there's a lot more like airplanes than there were a few years ago? A lot of airplanes. I live in the country, but there's always someone flying over me. Maybe it's SRAM. It's probably SRAM. They're zeroing in on me. Sorry, SRAM. Eagle Transmission. It's awesome. Take it all back. I know Camp Agnolo can't afford it. If they could, it would be very fast and it would be red. So really, this episode is all about making your bike your own. I feel like, you know, the more engaged you get in your bicycle build, the more you deviate from stock, the more the bicycle becomes a part of your lifestyle. The more you are engaged in the actual act of being a cyclist, not just riding your bike for fitness. And I feel like that's the best way to, you know, make sure that you stay a cyclist. Yeah, this is how I build my bikes and the considerations that I take. All right, let's go take a look. Okay, class, let's start with my upright ATB rig here. Crest Bike / Ron's Bikes, Frank the Welder, Aluminum Alumilith, ATB Upright Bike. That's a mouthful, huh? The most prolific upgrades you can give your bike from stock are your contact points, but by that I mean your saddle, handlebar, pedals, and everyone's favorite, tires. All right? Saddle, I prefer a Brooks or a similar style hammock saddle. These were the old style saddles. These saddles have been made for over 100 years. They still look great on a number of different bike builds. I find these saddles to be so much more comfortable than the more modern hard shell plastic saddles with the padding on top. This kind of saddle, I like to have it with the nose up just a little bit to hammock you know, a hammock in this zone right here that keeps me right in the position I need to be. It's nice and soft and supple. You're getting a lot of deflection out of your saddle and seat post. So a lot of your ride quality is coming from this zone right here. Next, we're gonna go with the handlebars. Handlebars have gotta be comfortable, obviously. I like to run these upright handlebars. These are, of course, the perpetually out of stock collaboration I did with Crest a few years ago. We should have maybe more in about a month, I hear. That's true, true life, about a month. They're on the boat right now, okay? These are, I like to set these up contrary to how a lot of people set up their beach cruiser bars. This is performance beach cruising. I like to have them set down a little bit so that I'm leaning into the handlebars. That's giving me some active suspension from the flex I'm getting from the handlebars, quite a bit in this case. And I'm also putting more weight on the front tire than I would if I were just like a beach cruiser bike or a cruiser bike or something like that. So that's how you get the performance advantage, because you've got to have a little bit of weight on the front tire. Otherwise, you're just going to wash out in turns, and it's going to, you know, the front wheel kind of lift off the ground if you have too much weight in the back. So lean into those handlebars. They don't always have to be just cruiser bars. You can make these things a performance bar. Okay, so moving on from that, we're going to go to the pedals. Obviously, I like to clip in sometimes. Other times, I probably half and half. I like to use a flat pedal. I have huge feet, so these Crank Brothers Stamp 2 pedals work pretty well for me. And then we're going to go to the most important part of every build, your tires. You got to build from the ground up. This is what stands between you and the surface that you are pedaling upon. So most of the ride quality you get from a bicycle happens in your tires. I like a nice flexible casing set up tubeless generally. Tubes are fine, especially if you're just starting out. Tubeless can be a hassle. I'd say that that's kind of like upper level bike mechanistry. Not saying that you can't just watch a tutorial. There's plenty of them out there on YouTube. So go over that. I even have one. You can see a lot of trials and tribulations with me because I try it all. I try all the different types of ways to set things up. I'm a tinkerer, and I love that analog suspension, as I said in the last video. So the tires are really fun. You get a nice flexible casing. It molds itself like a glove to... What the... Stop flying around here, SRAM. I'm not doing anything subversive. These tires, these are 2.2s, and I run them at, I'm 180 pounds, I run them at about
20 to 25 PSI.
And I've got a tire liner in there. That's all, you can look at that in my last video. I wouldn't recommend that if you're just a beginner to this and just setting it up. Just put some tubes in there. If you wanna have, you wanna do like the intermediary option between like butyl tubes, normal, basic, and tubeless, you can go with a latex inner tube, which look up why latex inner tubes are better as far as ride quality goes. There's a lot of cool, a lot of stuff out there. Okay, so let's move along to my transmission, LOL. First and foremost, I love square taper. Outboard bottom brackets look terrible to me, and they wear out a lot quicker. Square taper was all you ever needed. Everything else is a gimmick. Blah, blah, blah. You've heard me say that plenty of times. I'm sure many of you disagree, so let me know about it. I don't mind. And I like to run this sort of wide range double up front. This is a 94 BCD Ritchie Logic crank set, which I believe were made by Sagnino back in the early 90s. Beautiful crank set, very light. I use a 20 tooth little ring, a 36 tooth in the middle. The outer ring here is just a dummy ring used as a bash guard. We go over a lot of logs here in New England. 175 crank arms. I don't have like terribly long legs. I even go to like 180s sometimes. I know it's really in vogue to use shorter crank arms. And if that works for you, great. I like to, I guess my pedal stroke isn't as smooth as the professionals. I also prefer a 9-speed or an 8-speed cassette. This is a 9-speed. An 1134, I believe. That's a great ratio. Always use a 9-speed chain. KCNC makes my favorite chain, the SLX, I think it's called. It's gold. You can't tell here because I don't clean my bikes, but it's gold when it's new. I love gold things. Very, as you can see, very, very into gold things. And, you know, I'm usually a gold medalist whenever I compete. So, you know, it's kind of like keeps with that theme. My favorite XTR rear derailleur, the M950 or whatever. This was the kind of the 8-9 speed era that came into fruition when I was 16 in 96. So, you know, I have a strong kind of like emotional nostalgic connection to this derailleur, and it always works great. It's beautiful, well finished, great derailleur. So as you see that, I have many of those on many of my bikes.
I know a lot of people like the one-by scenario. That's fine. I just think that all one-by stuff is pretty damn ugly, and I don't like the narrower chains. They're not as strong. If you have a tight cluster in the rear, a lot of people don't understand that these old hubs have the same cassette spacing as like a modern hub. So what they do on modern bikes is they just cram, you know, 11 or 12 in the same space. So you have a lot like tighter of a gap between gears, a lot more opportunity for mud and sand and grit to get in there and clog up your works, which is not great when you love to go mudding, because, you know, if we're not mountain bikers, if we don't love the mud, that's a consideration. Some people might think that, you know, one shifter is easier to shift if you're new to it. That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Try it out. I encourage you to try out one-by systems. They're just not for me. Front derailleurs, whenever you're doing a narrow wide setup up front, the front derailleur, you don't want to have any drop in the back in the cage. A lot of times triple specific front derailleurs have a long drop on the back of the cage. That tends to not work very well when you're trying to do just a wide range double. So just any old, this is a Campy Record, just standard front derailleur. Works great for wide range.
And of course, I'm using friction shifters to shift through my range here. And that really makes things a lot simpler. I would recommend friction shifting to anyone just starting off and learning the best ways, the proper ways to shift. These are just basic Suntour power ratchets.
I love rim brakes. I'm not saying that they're totally better than disc brakes. You know, there are applications where both of them excel, but there's something about rim brakes that just looks a lot nicer, a lot cleaner, a lot more like a bicycle. So, a hot tip, I always go with aesthetics first and work backwards from there. Oftentimes, a little creativity and know-how, you can make your classic, simpler, lighter, oftentimes less expensive components work just as well as anything modern and offered by the big brands. So, Paul, in my opinion, makes some of the nicest stuff out there, if not the nicest. These are the Touring Canties. You can see they're low profile. The Neo Retros stick out. That's kind of like an older style. This style came into vogue in the 90s. And this is the style that many people have the last recollection of using cantilevers before they went to V-brakes. Oftentimes they were set up very poorly. It's important to note that you've got to get that yoke. This heart right here is the yoke. Our friend Sam Scipio at Jubilee Manufacturing sells these. Very cool. I would support her if I were you. You really have to make sure that yoke is down as low as you can go. Any lower here, and maybe I would sacrifice some mud clearance. So, you know, I'm only about 3/4 of an inch above the tire right here. So you're going to get some really nice mechanical advantage. See, if this is up higher, this becomes a more obtuse angle. This is lower, you get more of an acute angle. The more acute angle you have right here, the more leverage you're going to get on the brake. So keep that in mind. It's different when your cantilevers are the classic style that come out like this. But when you're using a Touring Canty or any other low-profile cantilever brake, this is what you want it to look like, complete with your cable fray. Just a little leg tickler, you know, just to let you know the brakes are there.
When it comes to water bottle cages, really, if it's not made by King Cage, then don't bother. Ron King Cage makes the best water bottle cages out there. They're not even that expensive. They're made in Durango, Colorado. And then this one, as you notice, I'm always running I like to run the squirt bottle there. And then I keep my reservoir of water in the this big clean canteen. And I just switch this one around to all of my different bikes. This is a Velo Orange Mojave cage. These are, I think, the best looking and the best working cage as far as the bigger ones go. So, you can see. That's your water carrying solution. So, you know, this will get me a 40-mile ride without having to fill up. Now let's talk about bags, shall we? You know, every bike I own has got to have a bag. This is a ronsbikes.com Fabs Abs that we make right here in Connecticut. I can carry all my day stuff in the summer in here. As the weather gets cooler, or if I need to carry more stuff, I move up to maybe the fanny or the chest. Or if I'm touring. And I always like to run a snack hole, bartender, whatever you want to call it. Every company makes one of these things now. I prefer the Randy Jo model because she has been doing it the longest, I feel. Maybe it was her original idea. Who knows at this point. But I keep my camera, my little Ricoh GR3, in there, and along with my cell phone and my wallet. Easy access. Make sure, you know, if you're using, oftentimes people use two of those, you got to be able to see the stem. And make sure you put that thing on the non-drive side so we can see your stem. Simple rules. And back here in that bandana, I keep my spare tube and a tire lever. I tend to use this with all my bikes. Just, I like the bandana. It kind of ties in my bag. And I just use a Bolle strap, one of the shorter nylon ones, to fix it to the saddle rails. The rule that nobody should deviate from, line those valve stems up with the tire logo. Okay? Just don't even ask questions. Just do it. And of course, a full-size frame pump. I like to put it behind the seat tube if I have room for it. This is just one of those Zafal Classic HPXs. Look for them on eBay or somewhere. They still make them. They're like $30, $35. Works so much better than those little ones that just work your jack-off muscles. The Specialized Purist squeeze bottle. Some people are really hyper aware of plastics, not wanting to consume any plastics. I used to be one of those people, but I'm not overly concerned with that stuff anymore. There's more important things to worry about in this world. And when you need to drink water on the bike, these just work best. Really hard to squeeze a stainless steel bottle, you know what I mean? Well, some people can, like a bodybuilder, or just have like a really firm handshake. And you know, there are very few kind of tubeless ready rim brake rims out there. I really like these ones that Crust are doing. They're super light, been plenty durable in my opinion, and they look great. It's cool that some companies are making these. Velocity of course makes the Cliffhanger. Another great option. But nearly 200 grams heavier per rim, so more of a touring rim in my opinion. This is a great rim for everyday riding. And as light as a carbon rim. Seriously. And I just use old hubs that I get off eBay. This is Shimano XT. Spins great, and they oftentimes spin smoother than modern hubs because they've got bigger ball bearings, the races are a higher quality, everything's made in Japan. Super nice.
So here we've got my Grav Dad setup. This is my prototype Next Frank / Crust Ron's Bikes model, built around 700 by 50. These are 700 by 42. Ultra Dynamico Cavas, of course. I took inspiration here from Charlie Cunningham, Frank the Welder, of course, went with his days in Yeti with the AccuTrax fork.
the setup for when I'm doing grab dad stuff. Double, of course, up front. This is a 2644, and I've got an 1132 back there. This cassette in the rear is an 8-speed. I wanted to talk about this transmission option. In my opinion, the only STI or was it a Brifter? Brifter. The only Brifter, what I mean by that is your brake lever and shifter integrated. These came into vogue with Shimano STI shifting in the early, I think maybe in 1990. Can't be answered with the Ergo Power. What a cool name, Ergo Power. So whatever it means, it's cool. And I believe these are just beautiful. You know, they have the lines I look for. The shift paddles are super tactile. The shifting is crisp. The big thing with Campy though, is that you've got to use a Campy specific free hub body, and those are pretty rare because Campy is, you know, on the fringe, which is what makes Campy so cool. You know, it's Italian. And they never made anything that wasn't meant to be like a high-end racing part, which is pretty neat. They never made like low-level 105 quality stuff. 105. So back to what I said about that free hub body. Hard to find. Not really into the Campagnolo free hub body. Their cassettes are very racer specific, so it's very hard to get a nice range from Campy. So, of course, those are readily available by a bunch of other component manufacturers that make their cassettes specific to a Shimano free hub body. That's like the standard Shimano SRAM free hub body is pretty standard. That's what you're going to find on most bikes. So in order to make that work with Campagnolo, you've got to do Campy 10 to Shimano 8. And I found that just about any rear derailleur works for that conversion. So. I'm still able to use that XTR M952 and a Shimano 8-speed. This is actually an XTR 8-speed rear cassette, and the top two are made out of titanium. So very light, very exclusive, very expensive, but not really anymore. You can pick those things up used. Just make sure you're looking at the teeth. Make sure they're not too worn down when you're looking on eBay. I've come across a few that are pretty hammered. But, you know, I picked those up for $80, tops. It's titanium. Japan. Japanese titanium, baby. Shimano XTR, in my opinion, as far as, like, your mountain bike componentry goes, there's nothing better. Up until about 2002, when the mid-school happened. Everything just got real computer-generated or something. Or just downright ugly. So yeah, that's how this transmission works.
And you're getting a lot of cantilever, no bracing like you have in like a double diamond frame. It's nothing bracing that saddle from, you know, going like this. So that's where you get that vertical compliance from. So even with my Grab Dad bike, I'm still using a Brooks. This is a V17 titanium and a titanium seat post. You're getting a lot of vertical compliance out of this system right here. So a lot of the comfort of the bike is coming from this. And these Paul center pull direct mount brakes are the best.
More on this bike later, obviously. So hopefully that helps you out a little bit with your next bike build. Get out there, you know, look up some of these components that I mentioned on eBay, or just like there's a bunch of cool online databases out there for old components. Sheldon Brown, of course, Harris Cyclery is a huge resource about compatibility and, you know, things that you can and can't do. So nobody in the alt cycling world would be here without him. He is the godfather. So, you know, look, check out his website and, get into it. Make the bike your own. Make the bike your own. Become a lifestyle cyclist. The bicycle will become an integral component of your everyday life. And you'll be fit, happy, tan, wealthy, healthy, and all be loved.
So like you know where I went. The specialized wind tunnel. That's where you could find me.